Blog Talk Radio.
Hit me. How y'all doing this evening? How y'all doing this evening? Do y'all want that bounce? Do y'all want that bounce? I say, do y'all want that bounce? That bounce?
No.
one. There's no God like the true and living God. Hallelujah. No God like our God, the true and living God. Hallelujah. I'm excited about that. Hallelujah. There's no God like our God. There's no one like him. Hallelujah. No one can compare to our God. Hallelujah. He is our healer. He's our Savior. He's our provider. He's our counselor. He's our friend. Hallelujah. He was and is and forever will be. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No matter what we say, no matter what we do, hallelujah, there is no God like our God. Hallelujah. No matter whether we agree, hallelujah, or disagree, there is no God like the true and living God, the God of Abraham, God, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. There is no God like him. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. And I thank God that he is God and he changes not. I thank God that he is God, because if we were God, hallelujah, it would be a shame if we were God, because there'd be a lot of people in trouble right now if we were God, hallelujah, because of our opinions, because of what we might be feeling at a particular moment. There would be a lot of people in trouble if we had to be God, hallelujah. But I thank God today that he is God. There is no God like him. Hallelujah. I don't care what other people say. Hallelujah. I don't care how they try to change God into what they want him to be. God is God. He won't change for you. He won't change for me. His word won't change for you. His word won't change for me. But we ought to change because of the word of God and because of what God has done for us, where he has brought us from. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because you know what? If God would have left us in the state that we were in the simple state we were in, there would be no chance of us going to heaven. There would be no chance for us having eternal life with him. We would all be doomed to hell. Hallelujah. But because God is a God of love, he saw fit to send his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross at Calvary. And before he even went to Calvary, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He got beat on the road to Calvary. Jesus got beat. He was wounded. He was bruised. He was spit on. He was lied on. He had a crown of thorns placed on his head. And we like to only remember that during Resurrection Sunday or Easter Sunday, but we need to remember that every day of the year. Hallelujah. The gift that God gave us in salvation. Hallelujah. Through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. God is good all the time. People say that as a cliche, but all the time, God is good. No matter what, God is good. No matter what, God is good. And we just want to thank him today, and we just want to praise him today for his awesomeness, because God truly is awesome. God truly is great. God truly is worthy of all the praise. And if you read through the book of Psalms, you will see how David and others just praised God and thanked him for, just because he is God, thanked him because of his awesomeness, thanked him because of the things that he done for them prior. You know, he did things for them before. And David would remember how God brought him through, how God delivered him, how God was his fighter, how God was his help and his strength in time of trouble. And David would remember that and begin to just praise God. And that's what we should do. We should just remember the things that God has done for us and begin to praise him. Just because he is God, hallelujah, if he never does anything else for us, he is God and he deserves all the praise and the glory and the honor. Now, I'm not going to sit here and lie and say I don't want God to never do nothing else for me. I'm not going to sit here and tell that lie. But I said if he never did anything else for us, he's still worthy of all the praise because of who he is. Hallelujah, glory to God. If you can't think of nothing else, think about God. And today we're going to talk about denominational differences, but we want to start off because God has just put it in my spirit to just praise him for all that he has done. Because guess what? It doesn't matter what we think. It doesn't matter our opinion. None of that stuff matters. What really matters is that God is God, and he's sitting on the throne. Hallelujah. And he sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins. He sent Jesus Christ that we might be redeemed back to him, that we might have our right standing in him again. Hallelujah. Because of the sin of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, because of the sin of Adam, when he partook of that fruit, when he partook of that forbidden fruit, hallelujah, then we were all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. But guess what? Because of what Jesus did, hallelujah, we have right to the tree of life right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because of the sacrifice, hallelujah, of Jesus Christ on the cross, hallelujah, we have, hallelujah, redemption through Jesus Christ. Glory to God. And everything else, nothing else should matter. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We can debate, we can argue, we can fuss, we can be not united or whatever the case is. But the bottom line is that Jesus came to set the captive free. Glory to God. Nothing else matters. Glory to God. But Jesus came came to set the captive free. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He came to redeem us back to the Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I praise him today for that. Hallelujah. Because glory to God. Hallelujah. He's making that so real in my spirit today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That he is God and he deserves praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So it doesn't matter. Hallelujah. Whether I wear pants. It doesn't matter whether or not I wear makeup. It doesn't matter whether or not I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and people believe that I'm not supposed to do it or not because I'm a woman. What matters is, are you redeemed? Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, one thing I love about Blog Talk Radio is I don't have to be in a church to preach the word of God. I don't have to stand in the church to preach the word of God. And we do have men that say that women are not supposed to be preachers, but they find their way to our Blog Talk Radio programs anyway. Hallelujah. And they say we can't preach the word of God, but y'all find y'all way to our program anyway. And I'm happy about that because God will open up any door that he chooses to open for the word to get out, whether it's from a man, whether it's from a woman, whether it's from a boy, or whether it's from a girl. God will get his word across. And just like my husband said this morning, God used a donkey, hallelujah, to bring his word, hallelujah. He's good. God will use whatever he want to do. And the word of God says, I will cause the very rocks to cry out, hallelujah, hallelujah. So guess what? It is what it is, but Jesus is Lord today, hallelujah. And God still sits on the throne, hallelujah, glory to God. And I praise him today for who he is to me, hallelujah. That song says, there's no God like him. He's our Father, our healer, our redeemer, our savior, our lover, our counselor. He's all that and then some, hallelujah. He's more to us than we could ever know. Hallelujah, because God, guess what? He kept us. He woke us up this morning, hallelujah, in our right mind. He woke us up again today, hallelujah, and we still have a mind to serve him, hallelujah, glory to God. And this morning we was on the, listening to Jesus in the morning when my husband was on there this morning. There was a young man that called in and said he only had 1 week to live. And like my husband said, you don't know whether you got the next minute to live. You don't know whether you got the next day to live. He said he got 1 week to live. But we don't know whether we have the next moment to live or not. We just don't know, glory to God. But while we have breath in our bodies, we ought to praise him for what he has done for us. We ought to praise him for what he is yet doing for us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because if God had not willed it so, if God had not let it be so, we wouldn't even be alive right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because we can't wake up on our own. Hallelujah. We can't wake up without God willing it to be so. Hallelujah. We can't move without God allowing it to be so. Glory to God. We're not doing this of our own strength. Glory to God. We can't do nothing or our own strength. We can't breathe without him. Hallelujah. And I love that song. And I don't have it on my list, but this lady, her name, last name is Pew, and she sings, I can't live without you. I can't breathe without you. I can't move without you in my life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And sometimes, you know, people say, well, you know, these songs today, they really don't make sense. But some of these songs, you sit down and listen to the words, and I'm telling you, that word is, I can't live without you, Jesus. I can't breathe without you, Jesus. I can't move without you, Jesus, without you in my life. Yeah, you saying, oh, well, you are, some people are alive and they don't have Jesus Christ. But we're talking about in the spirit. I need you, Jesus. I need you. I need you so much. I can't do this without you. I can't live without you. I can't move without you. I need you. There is no life without you, Jesus. There is no life outside of you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And we're talking about in the spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, again, you see, hallelujah, I am hype. I am excited today about what God is doing. Hallelujah. But before we go any further, we just want to pray and just invite the Holy Spirit into this broadcast today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because I want him here. I don't want Teresa to talk about anything because Teresa will go on a whole nother tantrum, start talking about stuff. And I want it to be God. I don't want to offend anyone. I don't want anyone to offend me. But I'll tell you what, the Spirit of God is true. And no matter what we say as humans, the Spirit of God is true. We could try to reason it in our natural minds. We can try to make it be what we want it to be. But the word of God will stay in sure forever. It will not change for us. It will not change because of our opinion. It will not change because of what we feel at the moment. The word of God is true, and every man is a liar. Amen today. Glory to God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for this another day. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to forgive us for our sins and our shortcomings. God, anything that we've said or done, Lord God, that was not of you, we ask your forgiveness in the name of Jesus. Father, I just release this broadcast unto you, Father God, and I ask your Holy Spirit to come in and teach us and lead us and help us today because the Holy Spirit is our helper. So, Holy Spirit, I ask you to come in today to teach this broadcast in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I ask you to take over my opinion and everybody else's opinion, and that you will just teach the word of God, hallelujah, in its purest form in the name of Jesus. Father, I submit unto you and to your Holy Spirit right now in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. And Father, I will not lean on what I understand in my natural mind, but I will let the Holy Spirit, I will let you, Holy Spirit, please come, Holy Spirit, and teach this broadcast in the name of Jesus, because it's not about me. Hallelujah, but it's about the word of God and the truth of the word of God. I rebuke and bind the spirit of error in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I take authority over every unclean spirit in the name of Jesus. I take authority over the spirit of pride and argumentative spirits in the name of Jesus. And Father God, I say, have your way, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for it right now. Father, I give you praise. I give you glory. And I give you honor for it right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for anyone who might be listening today, Lord God, live. Hallelujah. Or in the archives, oh God, whoever is not saved, whoever is not born again, whoever has not come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, whoever has not accepted Jesus Christ in the pardoning of their sins, Lord, I pray for them today that they will come out of blindness, they will come out of darkness in the name of Jesus and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior so that they may inherit eternal life. God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, with thanksgiving, I thank you, Lord God. With thanksgiving, I ask you these things, oh God. With thanksgiving, I thank you that it's already done. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah. Hi, hallelujah, glory to God. Hi, Miss Pretty, hi, Patriot Greg, hi, Taisha, glory to God. Hallelujah, we just want to know and let you know that if you desire to call in, please do so. And the call-in number today is, same as it always is, 323-693-3054. Again, the number is 323-693-3054. And today is April 27, 2012. If you have any friends that you know could benefit from this broadcast, would you please invite them to attend, to join us right now in the name of Jesus so that they can hear and maybe they have something to say and maybe they can teach me something. Because, you know, just because I have a broadcast on Blog Talk Radio doesn't mean that I know everything that's in the Word of God. Hallelujah. And let me warn y'all right now, Miss Pretty, Patriot Greg, and Taisha, I can't talk and type, so I won't be interacting that much in the chat room as far as typing goes, because I don't have that gift where I can talk and type at the same time, glory to God. But I will be speaking to you, and we will be going over some scriptures, hallelujah, and glory to God. And my husband and I are about to go out of town, so I don't think I'm going to be on for the whole 2 hours, but glory to God, we just want to go over some scriptures. And you know, Patriot Greg, you and I go back and forth about the scriptures sometimes, but I really thank God for you, because you know, God's word is the truth. God's word is the truth, and there is nothing else that compares to the word of God. And sometimes we don't want to hear what the word of God says, but guess what? The word of God says, be ye hearers and doers of the word. The Bible tells us that the word of God is truth and the word of God is life, and we ought to obey the word of God. Hallelujah. So I do thank God for you, Patriot Greg. Hallelujah. And I just want you to know that I do appreciate you. Hallelujah. Because we all are God's children. We all belong to him. And we might have denominational differences, or we might have our own opinions, but like I said before, there is no opinion of mankind that matters. God's word is God's word. It doesn't matter whether we agree with the word of God or not. God's word is God's word. We don't have to agree with God's word. His word is not going to change because we don't agree with it. God's word is not going to change because we feel like it should say something else, because we want the word of God to meet what we're doing at that particular time. God's word is not going to change. So it doesn't matter what we say or what we do. God's word is not going to change. Glory to God. And I just wanted to say that because, you know, I posted on my Facebook page because I was just so, like, in the heat of the moment, and I was upset because every time you turn around, there's some man somewhere saying that a woman is not supposed to preach. A woman is not supposed to preach in the church. A woman is supposed to keep silence in the church. And the scripture does say that woman is supposed to keep silence in the church. But what these women were doing, they were disrupting the service. They were disrupting the service, and they were being disrespectful in the congregation. And that's why it says keep quiet in the church, because you cause them problems. And back in those times, women were, you know, not considered to be anything more than a baby machine to bring forth a son or to bring forth children, you know, and to keep the home. That's what a woman was supposed to do, was to keep the home and keep the home in order, while the man will go to the church and be learned and go forth and preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the Bible tells us to go forth and make disciples. Jesus said, go forth and make disciples. Go forth and make disciples. How can we go forth and make disciples if we don't preach the word of God to them? If we don't teach the word of God, how can they hear except the preacher be sent? That's what the word of God says in Paul. See, we want to pick and choose what part of Paul we want to listen to and what part of the word of God we want to listen to. But Paul says that we're supposed to preach and teach the word of God. If you read Romans 10, and people use this scripture a lot of times for people to get saved, but use it for salvation. But they don't read the whole scripture. They don't read the whole thing. And then what happens is that people pick and choose what they want to pick and choose, and they go forth with that. You know what I'm saying? So guess what? God is God. God is God. And no matter what, we better listen to God. We better ask God for understanding. We better ask God for the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit teach us and lead us and guide us into all truth. We better let the Holy Spirit help us, because I'm telling you, sometimes we get so caught up in denominational differences that we lose focus on what exactly the word of God is telling us. We lose focus on the fact that we're supposed to be winning souls to Jesus Christ. And if we're fighting each other with these denominational differences, the world is out there looking at us and they're saying, well, look, they can't even get along. They can't even get along because one over here says you're not supposed to wear pants. The other one over here says a woman is not supposed to be preaching. That one over there says you're supposed to go to church on Saturday. That one over there says you're not supposed to eat pork. So we're sitting in the body of Christ fighting against one another while souls are being lost every single day instead of us preaching about the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. And this is what the purpose of us having these broadcasts are about, preaching the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, because there's too many people out there that are being lost because we out here fighting against each other. Glory to God. So I got two people in my house that I'm on the radio and they out there talking. But Lord have mercy. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Listen, I wear pants. I eat pork. I preach the gospel. I wear makeup. Okay. Sometimes I might put on a false eyelash or two. Depends on how I'm feeling. Okay. Depends on where I'm going. Depends on what I'm doing. I might do that. But guess what? That's not what's going to keep me out of heaven. And that's not what's going to send me to hell. What's going to keep me out of heaven is not receiving Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and living a life of disobedience and rebellion. That's what's going to keep me out of heaven. That's going to send me straight to hell. You know that? I could wear dresses all day long and still be a hellion. I could wear no makeup at all and still be a hellion. I could never preach in the church, or I could preach all day long in the church and still be a hellion. But you know what? It's the heart that God looks at. We're looking at the outward appearance. We all debating about this, and that, and that, that, and that. But guess what? What matters is the heart. God knows what's in our heart. But we could debate with each other all day long, all night long if we want to. But God knows what's in our heart. A woman preacher can preach all day long in the church, but if her heart ain't right, if she's really not serving God with her whole heart, guess what? God is not impressed. How about that? God is not impressed. God is not impressed. What we need to examine our hearts. We need to make sure that we're serving the true and living God. We need to make sure that we're living according to the word of God. We better make sure that we are truly born again. Because if we are born again, we will live like we're born again. We won't be arguing and fighting with each other. We won't be debating about this, that, and the other. Because guess what? To every man and to every woman, they think what they know is right anyway. What matters is what God says. That's what really matters. That's what really matters. So if you and if anybody is upset with me or any other woman who is preaching the gospel in a church, then pray for that person. Let's not go out and publicly lambast each other. Let us pray for one another. This is the true love of God, that we will begin to pray for one another. You might think that I'm wrong. I might think that you're wrong. I might think the Seventh-day Adventists are wrong. I might think the Muslims are wrong. I might think whoever or whatever is wrong. But if we have the true love of God in us, we're going to pray for one another. That's what we're going to do. Pray for my understanding. Pray to ask God to help me to understand his word. If you think that I'm wrong, if you think that what I'm doing is wrong, pray that God will open up the eyes of my understanding, that he will give me understanding of his word. Hallelujah. That I will begin to live his word and not compromise his word by what I think, by what Teresa thinks, So a lot of people are in trouble because of what they think. What they think. And sometimes we can be just like Paul, and we can be like, before he had his road to Damascus experience, he thought he was doing God a favor by going around killing the Christians. He thought he was doing God a real favor by going around killing them, until he met Jesus on the road to Damascus and he got knocked off that horse. And then he got told the truth. He said, "You persecuted me." When we persecute each other, we're persecuting Jesus Christ. We're not just hurting that person we're talking about, and we're persecuting. We're persecuting Jesus Christ. Glory to God. And I thank God for just giving me that revelation. Glory to God. Because guess what? It doesn't matter what day we worship God on. We ought to worship him every single day. We ought to worship him every single day of the week, because God is God every single day of the week. God is God 24 hours a day. It doesn't matter whether it's Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, whatever day you decide to go to the building and worship him. We need to worship God in spirit and in truth every single day. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So this debating on what day of the week we should go to church and if we're going to hell. I got people right now tell me we're going to hell because we won't worship God on Saturday. If you want to stand on the letter of the word, it says the Sabbath day you're supposed to rest from all labor. And that should include preaching, too, because a preacher is hired. Most of the time, a preacher or a pastor is getting paid to preach a pastor. So if that's the case, then you should rest from your labor from even preaching on Saturday if that's where you want to go. Okay? If you want to debate about that, then you shouldn't even be preaching on Saturday. You need to rest from your labor. And pick another day to preach the gospel. See, but we don't want to go there. We don't want to talk about that, okay? We want to talk about the obvious thing, women preaching in the church, women pastoring in the church. We want to talk about that. But if you want to talk about those type of things, then let's talk about this. Talk about why you're preaching on a Sabbath day, okay? If the Sabbath day is a day of rest, he said you're not supposed to do nothing on a Sabbath day. Nothing on a Sabbath day. So, okay, again, if you disagree with what I'm saying, pray for me. Pray for me. But if we're going to obey the gospel, if we're going to obey the word of God, then obey all of it. Obey all of it. Don't let me catch you preaching on Saturday, okay? Don't let me catch you preaching on Saturday, because that's the Sabbath day of the Lord, according to what we say. Okay, hello. Okay, I don't have nobody, hallelujah, talking to me, but guess what? We have a caller, area code 916. Area code 916, welcome to Power Lunch with Jesus and the Word. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Roger Roach.
Hey, Roger Roach, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good.
You know, I grew up in a church that didn't let women preach, okay? And it was a form of UPC, you know, United Pentecostal, okay? And they basically, you know, women weren't allowed. My pastor's wife preached from the pulpit, which I don't understand that one, you know, because that's kind of respect the persons. But, you know, and then I went to a Kojak church, a COGIC, you know, Church of God in Christ, and women preached. And, I don't mean nothing personal about it, but I'd rather hear the women preach than the men preach. And that included the pastor. I mean, I liked hearing the pastor, but the women always came up with stuff. You know, they didn't have the arrogant "I'm God" spirit. You know, a lot of pastors, you know, "I'm God," you know, "I'm this, I'm that." You know, I mean, in their minds, they get lifted up in their minds, and they don't think anybody else can preach. You know, I mean, we've all been there where, you know, we think that we know it all. And it's like you were telling me earlier in our conversation on our chat, that, you know, you realize that you got a long ways to go. That's the beginning of wisdom. You know, that's where we become wise. When we get to the point in the Bible that we know more than God knows, or we know more than everybody else, then the Bible says, you know, if a man thinks he stands, let him take heed lest he falls. And we're trying to stand, and we're trying to grow, like you said. And when you realize that how much word you know, then you realize you know nothing as you ought. Because,
that's right.
You know, the more you get into the word, the more you realize that you know, it's not about us how much we know. It's how much can we share with someone else that so they'll know. And then we realize, man, there's so much. It's just like trying to follow history and find, you know, just figure out the the times, you know, in the Bible, you know. And then, you know, when did Saul do this, and when did David do that, and when did the kingdoms divide, and all that stuff. Man, I know people that can tell you the history and go right down the line and everything like that, and just, you know, they know the Bible and they do this. And like yesterday I was preaching with this brother, and, you know, man, he just got to, he's sitting there telling about how righteous he is and how he lives the law and everything like that. He just spent 2 months with his ex-wife. You know, I'm like, what? And he don't know that I know, but my wife knows, you know. And so he's up there telling people how he lives up to the law and how he is this. And then at the end of preaching, he goes, can't I get all of you to stand up and clap for me? And I was like, you know, I mean, see, I'm not against that, you know, recognizing a man of God. Because when a man of God lays down his life for his friend, he needs to be recognized. The Bible says to give him double honor. But some of these churches out here praise the man more than they praise God. And see, I got caught up in that kind of stuff. And you were talking, I know who you were talking about on Saturdays and all that, you know. It's like, you know, what does any of this have to do with standing in the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ, where I be not tossed to and fro by the slight and cunning craftiness of men that lie in wait to deceive me? I have to learn how to work out my own salvation, and I have to look into that perfect law of liberty and see what manner of man or woman I am.
That's,
you know,
right.
Not what manner of man or woman you are. Now, like you said, I need to pray for those people, you know. And you know, it's like, I have to pray for them. I got a friend who's got into ACIM, miracles, right? And he's been serving God all his life. He's posting about Buddha and all this other stuff because he's got caught up in this stuff, you know. And at first I wanted to rebuke him, you know, and I just started saying, no, I'm going to start praying for him. I'm not gonna comment on these things. I'm not going to get into that. I'm just going to start praying for him. Man, it wasn't too long later, he starts posting about Jesus. You know, I'm like, praise God, hallelujah. Then he goes back. So he's in a warfare right now. Because,
and that's,
he's in
what
a,
you know,
you,
I'm sorry, Roger, but I you
go
know,
ahead.
What we need to do is we have to be very careful in these last days, because what mm-hmm. the enemy wants to do is bring distraction. And, you know, mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit keeps talking to me about that. And the enemy wants to bring distraction and keep us away from the real thing that we need to be focusing on. And the real thing that we need to be focusing on is winning souls to the body of Christ. And we cannot win souls to the body of Christ if we're going to keep biting and devouring one another. If we're going to keep coming against each other. I know one broadcast that I did earlier in the week, we were talking about unity in the body of Christ. We were talking about, where is the power of God in the body of Christ? Why aren't we seeing miracles on a regular basis? Why aren't we seeing people raised from the dead on a miracle basis? I mean, on a regular basis. Why aren't we seeing signs and wonders following us that believe in the body of Christ? Because a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand.
That's exactly.
And we are totally divided. My husband says this all the time. He says Sunday morning at 11 o'clock is the most segregated time that we could ever think of. Because I was looking at Christian television, and I was looking at particular, particular preachers as they were on TV. I was looking at Creflo Dollar. His complete congregation was almost all Afro-American people. Then I looked at John Hagee. His complete congregation was practically all white people or white and Hispanic people. You would see a black person here or there, but it was predominantly Caucasian. And I said, Lord, what kind of foolishness is this that we can't even fellowship together? We fellowship based on the color of our skin. Don't you know that God is not pleased with that? There's not going to be segregation in heaven. So I don't know what we out here are thinking. How do we think that God is pleased with this when we can't even come together in unity? We cannot even come together in the spirit, because you got black folk over here worshiping this way, white people over here worshiping that way. Some other people, you might have a mixed congregation. Then you got the white people frowning on that and the black people frowning on that. Well, why they got to be mixed? What the heck? Don't you know that is not of God? Don't you know that God is not segregated? Don't you know God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth? Don't you know that I don't look at God as any color? I don't look at Jesus as any color. I look at him as a spirit. And to me, a spirit don't have no color. So it doesn't matter what color I am. It doesn't matter what color you are. What matters is that we worship God in spirit and in truth. And if we come out of our own natural minds and begin to worship God in spirit and truth, a lot of the stuff that we're debating over and fighting over and stuff is not going to even matter, because the only thing that's going to matter is that we begin to win souls to the body of Christ. That's what's
right.
going to matter. See, Satan comes to divide. He comes to bring division. If we're divided, we better look at ourselves and figure out why we're divided. Why can't I, being a black woman, worship with somebody white? Why can't you, being a black man, worship with somebody black? What is the problem? We need to get it together, because God is not pleased. And the very thing that we think is going to keep people out of heaven, the people we think ain't going to heaven be the ones that be going, because their heart is pure. Their heart is pure. Oh, they wearing pants. They not going to heaven. You's a lie, and the devil is your daddy. You can't sit there and judge people on their outward appearance. God knows our hearts. Now, if we see somebody that's a murderer and they continuously murdering, we see somebody that's continually doing the things that Paul spoke about and that Jesus, primarily that Jesus spoke about, then we need to pray for them so they can come out of darkness and come into the marvelous light of the word of God. But see, we wanna pick and choose those things that we want to talk about, and the real thing that we're supposed to be talking about, we done left that behind because you weren't about whether I'm wearing pants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you weren't about whether or not I got a perm in my hair. I mean, I've been in United Pentecostal, and when I was in United Pentecostal, the women could not even put perms in their hair. They couldn't watch television. They couldn't read the newspaper. They had to wear their dresses a certain length. The shirt sleeve had to be a certain length. You couldn't wear shoes with your toes out. It was so many things you couldn't do. The guy told me I was going to hell because I was wearing my wedding ring. Did you hear what I said?
Yeah,
he says, you're going to hell because you're wearing jewelry. I said, well, I guess I'll see you in hell because you got on a watch, and a watch is jewelry. See, I ain't never been one to bite my tongue. And I didn't bite my tongue when I was in the world, and I'm not going to bite my tongue in the kingdom of God. As he leads me to say things, I'm going to say it. Now, yeah, I say things out of my flesh sometimes, but I did tell him, I said, well, then I guess I'll see you in hell because you got on a watch, and a watch is considered jewelry. So don't come at me with that foolishness. Okay?
Right.
And see, but it's stuff like that that keep our minds off of the real purpose of what we're supposed to do. Jesus told us in Matthew 28, go ye therefore in all the world and make disciples. Go make disciples.
Right.
He didn't say go into all the world and make enemies. He said go into all the world and make disciples. How are we going to make disciples if we fighting against each other? We can't make, if I was not saved today, I wouldn't want to be saved because of some of the foolishness that goes on in the body of Christ. Or I should say, I got hand quotes up, the so-called body of Christ. See, Christ's name don't need to be attached to this division. Christ's name don't need to be attached to this isms and schisms that we got with one another. His name does not need to be attached to none of this because he's not doing this. This has nothing to do with him. It's us and our flesh wanting to be right, wanting to stand on pride, wanting everybody to listen to what we say instead of doing what God told us to do through the word of God. Stand up on the corner and preach Jesus. Stand up on the corner and preach Jesus, because to that lost soul, it doesn't matter whether or not I'm a woman. It doesn't matter whether or not I got on pants. It doesn't matter whether or not my toes are out. What matters is, am I preaching Jesus? And are people getting saved? See, in the scriptures where it says woman to keep silence in the church, back then these people were coming to be new converts. They were just coming into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. They didn't understand a lot of stuff that was going on. The women would stand up and ask questions and just totally disrupt the church. Totally disrupt the church. And he said, look, you need to go home and ask your husband questions. Stop doing this. Stop standing up in the church causing trouble. Stop standing up in the church causing confusion. Go home and ask your husband questions. Okay, let him learn right here. But you be quiet, and you just let him, you know, answer his ask questions at home. You know,
can I give you some spiritual?
Let
me give you some spiritual insight on that. Can I do that? Can I just insert something right in there?
Go ahead.
Okay, the church is likened to a woman. Okay, so when you go to a general meeting, okay, then the church is to keep silent, listen to what the men of God have to say. If there's anything different about what those men of God are teaching than you're taught, then you go home to your natural church, your church, and you ask your pastor, because that's where God sent you. So So it's not just talking about a natural woman, it's talking about a spiritual woman. Be quiet when you're in a convention or you're in church. You know, don't get up and start asking questions. Don't be disruptive. Like you said, just sit there, take whatever it is, and if it has a problem, write it down. Then take it home to your husband, or your natural husband, which is your pastor, or your spiritual husband, which is your pastor. I mean, in a way, I mean, he's over us. He's the, you know, whether he's a man, woman, whatever he is, it doesn't make any difference. But you go there and you ask them. And the other thing you were saying about the because I got to do my shows, I just want to add in and let you know I did what I said, but I listened to your husband's show. It was really good, too, because he's basically on the same subject. This is what's separating the body of Christ. I'm white. My wife is black, okay? I went to a Kojak church, and there's 1,200 people there. And I was the only white brother. Hallelujah. You know, the only one, right? Now, I remember the movie on Dorothy Dandridge, and when she jumped in the pool and they washed the pool. Well, I have brothers in the church, praise God, and then I come up walking up to them and they give me a clammy handshake. You know, like my wife's gonna rub off on them. You know, don't shake my hand. I mean, if I put my hand out there, give me a handshake. You know, that clammy stuff, man. You know, like I'm gonna rub off her. You know, that's the prejudice of this world. You know, and we talk about prejudice and all this stuff. But, I mean, basically, it was real. I mean, it's a real thing. But we gotta go back to the Indians. If we're gonna talk about prejudice, where the Pilgrims killed the Indians and did that. That was the Christians. That's what the Pilgrims were Christians. You know, and they took over the land. All the Indians wanted to do was smoke their peace pipes and, you know, do what they were doing, and they've been doing it all along. But we don't dwell on that part. We just dwell on the slavery. Well, you know, there's all this stuff that comes down. That's like you said, the enemy wants to devour us. It wants to take over, you know. And it's not it doesn't, you know. And then it says women are not supposed to wear men's apparel. As far as I know, they were wearing dresses. They were wearing robes.
Don't get
me
started about the men's apparel, okay?
You see, I mean, no, like I said, I came out of the saying, man, if we didn't wear a white shirt and tie on Sunday, whether we were sitting on the platform or not, my pastor told you to go home and get dressed.
Yes.
And we went home, we got dressed, and we didn't come to, I mean, we didn't want him calling our name because he'd call our name, you know? And I was at a UPC church. And I went there. It's the biggest church in Sacramento. This church is awesome, man. I mean, it's just huge as can be, man. And it's a UPC, and it's called the Rock Church. And all he did was preach on standards, man, standards. And he was talking about how the girls, the young girls, had a half inch. They had to have it a half inch above their knee just so that they could tempt the devil. And I'm like, you know what? This is ridiculous. I didn't come here to hear about how somebody dresses. I didn't come here to hear about that. It's like the church I've been going to, they have a book, and they're trying to read. It's called Pigs in the Parlor, okay? And they're reading out of the book and all that. Man, if I want to read Joyce Meyer, I'll go get one of her books. I want to hear the Word of God. I want to hear the Bible. I want to hear something real. I want to hear somebody else's opinion. And
but let me tell you something.
I like the,
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Let me tell you something.
Go ahead.
God, the Spirit of God used Joyce Meyer in one particular book that I love, and I use in our women's ministry, is The Battlefield of the Mind.
Well, I don't know that one.
The Battlefield of the Mind, I tell you, that book is anointed because
I wasn't taken away from Joyce Meyer's.
I was just saying,
if I want a book, I can go to the bookstore and I can buy a book. When I go to church, I want to hear the Word of God.
The
Bible open. I don't want to hear your stories. I don't want to hear about your past. I don't want to hear about all that stuff. You can tell me that later. When you're going to get up and you're going to read the Bible and you pick a subject, make sure your scripture fits what you're preaching on. Because they take a scripture and then they get over there. And it's not like me and you get caught up in the Spirit because they got it all written down. And then they preach on that thing and then they go on and on and on and on. And I'm like, what did that have to do with the scripture? And that's the only scripture they got. You know, when you're going to teach the Bible, I'm like, I sent you some lessons. I try to go, you know, sometimes I'll write with the Word of God and I put the scriptures in, you know, when I'm doing something. I'm using the Word of God. I'm not giving you my opinion. If I give you 50 scriptures on the works of the flesh, then you need to look at the works of the flesh. You know, I mean, that's basically what I, how I see it. And it's become a situation where, you know, how come the church across the street can't fellowship with the church across the street? You know, because what, their denomination?
And
you know,
that's
I'm
what
an
it
organism.
Is.
That's it.
That's what
because
it is. And we talked
right.
about it.
Every man seems to be right in his own mind.
Yeah, but and let me say this, because you now you're touching on a couple of things that we did talk about that earlier mm-hmm. in the week. We talked about how churches are right next to each other and can't fellowship because of their denomination. You got a Baptist church next to a Church of God in Christ, and you can't fellowship mm-hmm. together because Church of God in Christ says, you know, the women can't do this and the women can't do that, and the man, he got to be the total authority. You can't, and y'all believe this and y'all believe that, so we can't fellowship together. That's why I'm telling you, Jesus is soon to come, but guess what? He said he's coming for a church without spot or without blemish. That's what Jesus said. He's coming for a church that without a spot, without a blemish, and we are so spotted and blemished right now. You wonder why Jesus is delaying his coming. You wonder why he's delaying his coming. He's
yeah,
giving
exactly.
us a chance to get it right. He's giving us a chance to get it right. And if we stand steadfast on our denominational differences and mm-hmm. don't come out of what we think in our natural minds, we're going to stay divided. And it's not going to be a whole lot of people going to heaven. It's not going to be a lot of people yeah. because he said he's coming for a church without spot and blemish. That's what he means. And if we want to continue to allow Satan, if we want to continue to allow Satan to come in and keep division amongst
mm-hmm.
us, then who are we? Who are we? We're no better than the world. We might as well just go
that's
back out there and start fornicating and smoking and drinking and doing whatever it does. We might as well just go back out there and do what they do because we're acting like them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you might
mm-hmm.
say, well, why would you say something like that, Teresa? What is wrong with you? I'm saying something like that because we keep talking about what the world does, but what are we doing that's different? You want to fight me because I wear pants. You want to fight me because I'm a woman preacher, and yes, I do go in church and preach. Yes, I do, and I will continue to do that until God tells me not to, okay? But you want to stand on that. You want to worship with an all-white congregation because you're white, and you want to worship with an all-black congregation because you're black, and nobody wants to come together in unity, which is in the unity of Jesus Christ. Nobody wants to. You worrying about whether you baptize in the name of Jesus. They worrying about whether or not, you know, you lay hands on the sick or you speak in tongues. You know, folks is mad at you because you speak in tongues and somebody else don't speak in tongues. Somebody else is mad because you eat pork and somebody else don't eat pork. This is the foolishness that Satan keeps present. And he keeps bringing up so that we will not be focused on the real mission of God. The real mission is that Jesus said, I came to seek and save them that are lost. He did not say anything about, okay, only if you don't wear pants, then I want to seek you. Or only if you go to church on Saturday, then I want to seek you. Come on, people. Get up off of your denominational bondage. Ask God to deliver you from denominational bondage. Because this is what is going on in the so-called body of Christ. Will the real church of Jesus Christ please stand up?
Amen.
Come on, people. Stop it with the foolishness. Because guess what? Heaven ain't going to be segregated. Only the pure in heart shall see God. Only
that's
the
right.
pure in heart shall see God. So I don't care what you say out your mouth. Only the pure in heart shall see God. Okay? Only the pure in heart. So you can be pure in heart and have pants on, women. You can be pure in heart and preach the gospel, women. You can be pure in heart and eat pork, women and men. You can be pure in heart and do what you're doing. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, because we all know fornication and adultery and lying and stealing and backbiting and all that stuff. That's not purity of heart. None of that is purity of heart. But guess what? A kingdom divided against itself, cannot stand. And I don't care how you look at it. A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. We have another caller on the line, Roger. So hold on, please. We actually have two callers. My husband is one of them. Hold on, please. Area code 813. Welcome to the broadcast.
Yes. Hello.
Hello.
God bless you.
God bless you. Who am I speaking to?
This is Rodney.
Hi, Rodney.
I'm one of your Facebook friends.
Amen.
Rodney Redeemed Creasy.
Okay, Rodney Redeemed, how are you?
I am blessed. I was just listening to your broadcast, and I just wanted to weigh in.
All right.
And, you know, the thing we have, the problem we have is we have gotten away from the mission. The mission is the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
And we get caught up in who's doing what and who's not doing this. And we're forgetting that there are people out there dying.
Yes, Jesus.
Dying because they don't know the way.
That's right.
You understand? And God had called us, and he has appointed us a task. And we're getting caught up. We got churches, like you said, on every street corner competing against each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we have taken our faith out of the mission. We're not even doing what we are called to do.
What?
You understand? We weren't about to save. It's time for God's people to come off the milk.
Uh-oh.
And eat some meat.
Uh-oh.
Mm. You understand? We're still, you know, people been saved 20, 30, and 40 years still on formula.
Uh-oh.
It's time for us to grow up in Christ.
Yes,
and
yes,
eat
yes.
some meat.
Yes,
so we
yes.
can get back to God's business.
Yes, yes, yes,
and
yes, yes.
About women in the pulpit, I was taught my rhythm. The first woman he appointed to carry a message was a woman.
What? You must have listened to my husband preaching this morning on the show. Jesus.
So you got to understand that when God calls you and he assigns you a task, if you are not willing to be obedient to the Spirit of the Lord, he'll find somebody.
Yes, he will.
He'll find another willing vessel.
Yes, he will.
It doesn't matter. God needs someone that is willing, whether it's man or woman, to carry his word.
Yes,
and the whole
will.
Thing is the gospel. It's about the gospel. It's not about who's got the biggest church, who's got the most followers. It's about the gospel.
You mean it's not
Jesus
it's
Christ.
Not- It doesn't matter. It's not about me building a church that's going to hold 15,000 members. You mean it's not about
No, ma'am, because you can have 15,000 members on their way to hell.
Oh, you know what? I should have had you on the broadcast a long time ago. Where you been? Where you been? That's what I want to know.
You got 15,000 people following you straight to hell.
Straight to hell.
But then you got a little church over there with 20 obedient members.
Yes, Jesus. Come on now.
Praising the Lord.
Keeping
man.
God lifted.
Yes. Come on now.
You understand?
Yes.
It's the mission.
It's the mission.
It's not me. It's not me. It's not the televangelist. You understand?
I understand.
It's the mission.
It's the mission. And we better get back to the mission and act
That's
like
right.
we know. Because guess what? Like you said and like we've been saying, folks is going to hell in a handbasket because folks just want to sit around and talk about this foolishness. And let me tell you something. God ain't in division.
Preaching to each other every Sunday.
What?
Preaching to each other. Leave the church just to come back to preach to each other again. What are you doing in the meantime?
Oh, where my pastor at? She needs to be on the line. But guess what? Guess what? We're going to be held accountable for what we do. Okay?
That's right.
We're going
That's
to
right.
be held accountable, Rodney and Roger and everybody in the chat room and Teresa. We're going to be held accountable for what we do. You understand what I'm saying? We got, and Patriot Greg, I love you for what you just said. You said the preaching of the gospel is responsibility of both men and women. Jesus said, if you read the book of Matthew, he said, go out and make disciples. He ain't put
That's
no
right.
gender. He didn't put a gender to it. Now, y'all need to
no.
go and tell me if the Greek and the Hebrew and somebody else says that it says something else. But he didn't put a gender to that. He said, go out. Okay?
That's right.
Preach the gospel, make disciples, everything that you heard of me saying, then you go out and do them. Okay?
That's
he
right.
said,
he said, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. This is Matthew 28:18. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Let me stop right there. We arguing about whether or not somebody baptized in the name of Jesus or whether they baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, this right here is Jesus, because my Bible got it in red letters, and I'm reading out of the Life and the Spirit Bible, and it's the red letters, and it says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Now, this is Jesus talking, but we got denominations that's coming and saying, if you're not baptized in the name of Jesus, you know, Jesus only, then you're going to hell. Well, aren't they all one? I just need to know. Aren't Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit one? Jesus said in John 15, me and my Father are one.
That's right.
Here fighting me because I got baptized in Jesus' name, or you got baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and we fighting over that when the truth of the matter is you can get baptized in the name of Jesus, you can get baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you can go down a dry devil and still come up a wet devil no matter what name you baptized in.
If you don't reach
maturity in Jesus Christ, it don't matter what you baptize.
It don't matter what you baptize.
That's basically what it is.
I want to just let me in, because you keep hitting the subjects,
those are my pet peeves, man. I mean, you're hitting the ones that are my pet peeves.
Okay, they should all be our pet peeves. Let me just say this,
okay? It says you must be born in the water and the spirit, okay? And then Nicodemus says, well, how does a man go back into the womb, right? Which was the water. Weren't we born in water? Didn't our water break? Okay? To me, that's saying we must be born in a woman first because we never come into the world just like Jesus came and he was born of a woman. And then it says of the spirit, okay? It ain't talking about water baptism. It's talking about being born in a woman. If you go back and read the scriptures, Nicodemus even tells you what it's talking about, okay?
Let me say,
we don't have to be water baptized, but I'm saying that to sit there, I have this brother from the same church, you know what I'm talking about, where you came from, and he went up to this lady on her deathbed and tried to get her to be baptized on her deathbed in the name of Jesus, right? And she says, I've already been water baptized. Well, were you baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, or the name of Jesus? And she said, I was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost before you were born, son. And he said, well, you're going to hell. On her deathbed! He's telling her she's going to hell because she wasn't baptized in the name of Jesus.
Who's doing
the baptizing? Do you have the authority from God to baptize somebody? Or you got the authority from your organization?
That's what it comes down to. Okay, let me say something. Hold on. Let me get my husband in on this line.
Honey?
Yeah.
Okay, you're on the line, so I need you to jump in here. But wait, let me read something because... Roger said something.
Okay.
Now, we all are born of women. That goes without saying. Okay?
Right.
We need to go to the book of Ephesians. Go to the book of Ephesians.
Okay.
And all of us, we need to go to the book of Ephesians because we need to be in the spirit. We need to really go and see what the word of God says. Now, we've been washed.
Ephesians what?
5, I'm sorry. We go to the book of John where it says, talking about Nicodemus, because there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. I'm reading in the book of John. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Excuse me. If you read the book of Ephesians, it tells us that we are washed with the water of the Word.
Right.
Okay. It is the water of the Word of God that washes us. and cleanses us. We got to be born again of the Spirit. We cannot enter, like Jesus said, we can't enter the second time into our mother's womb and be born. So therefore, we know that we cannot be born again by going back into our mother's womb and coming out through the birth canal and her water breaking and we being born again. That's not going to happen. It's not possible to happen. We need to be born again by the washing of the water of the Word. It's the Word of God that causes us really to be born again. We are redeemed by faith through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. When we say, Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior, I'm forsaking my sins and I'm going to live for you. I believe that you were born, born and you died and you rose again for my sin and you sit right now at the right hand of the Father. By faith, we are born again into the kingdom of God. But it's the Word of God that washes us and cleanses us. It's the Word of God that renews us. The Bible tells us that be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And the only way that we can be renewed in the spirit of our minds is with the Word of God. It's the Word of God that transforms us. It's the Word of God that renews us. We can say all day that we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, but if we're not renewed in our minds, if our spirit man is not renewed by the Word of God, where are we? Where do we stand? Where do we stand? Just like the young man, the owner, just came on the line, and I'm sorry, please forgive me for not remembering your name because I got so much going on. Rodney, I don't know why you hung up, Rodney. But we got to understand that we got to, the Word of God cleanses us. And let's, honey, Ephesians 5, I'm going to read it says, well, ironically, it's going to talk about husbands and wives. It says in verse 22, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless, holy and blameless. Holy and blameless. We become that. The more we begin to get in the Word, the more we begin to study the Word, but the more we begin to live the Word of God, we begin to wash ourselves and cleanse ourselves. But it's through the Word of God. The Word of God, I mean, the Word of God is so important, and people just look at the Word of God. Like my husband said to somebody, don't just look at the Bible as a book. The Word of God, this is life. This is real. This is something that God gave us. He didn't just give it to us for it to be in a book, you know, so it could be a bestseller. Because the Bible is a bestseller and is an all-time bestseller, and nothing else will ever compare to the Bible being sold. But it's not just for that. God wants us to read this word and devour this word, eat this word, so this word of God can change us, so that we can become holy. Like Jesus said, be ye holy for I am holy, so that we can become holy. All this other stuff that we're talking about, this stuff is not, it's not making us holy. In fact, it's just making it worse because we're sitting here debating about stuff that, Jesus didn't tell us to debate about this stuff. He didn't tell us to debate about this. He told us to love one another. He told us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto us. We're going over here fighting each other about stupid stuff. We're talking about stuff that doesn't even make any sense. While, like Rodney said before he hung up the phone, was people out here going to hell because we're fighting over denominational differences. We're not getting an understanding of the word. And, honey, jump in here at any time.
Okay.
Because, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. You are my husband and you are Bishop Scott, but you can correct me if I'm wrong. Denominations, people going to hell over denominational differences. Like, come on now. Get washed with the water of the word. Get born again. Get born again. Just get born again.
The problem is that most churches, even those that call themselves non-denominational, are denominational.
Yes, sir. I told you that.
Yeah.
Have certain things they believe. That's a denomination. When you have a common thread that holds you all together and a common system of belief that holds you all together, that's the definition of a denomination. I was telling someone that, in fact, it was our son, Ryan. He and I were talking at great length one day, and he was talking about religion, which is the broadest scope of thought. I said, you know, we were talking about religion, different religions. I said, you know, atheism has become a religion because atheism is a set doctrine of beliefs that many people believe in and hold dear. And the same with denominations. There are things, the problem is, once a person is saved, once a person accepts Christ as his Savior and walks in the way of holiness, the next thing is you're supposed to join a church. That's where the problem comes in. The problem comes in not in the conversion, it's the consequences after the conversion, the events after the conversion, when you have to decide on a church. Now you're going to decide on what? See, that's the problem. What church do we know that has no doctrinal beliefs? That just strictly talks about the Word of God and that's it, without any doctrine. Outside of the Word of God. Of course, the Word of God is a doctrine in itself. It's laws and commandments. So even that's a doctrine. See, everything's a doctrine. Even the Bible is a doctrine. In terms of what the doctrine means a standard of belief. So even certainly the Bible is full of what we need to believe. But in terms of church, in terms of denomination, where do we go once we're saved? That's where the problem lies.
Well, let me tell you something. I'm going to end the broadcast because we got to go. We got to get out of here. But guess what? The bottom line is this. The Word of God is going to stand forever. It's not going to change for us. Okay? We need to change because of the Word of God. And Patriot Gray says, baptism is the outward expression of inward transformation. And that is true. Baptism, but Jesus got baptized and he said, whatever you saw me do, that's what I want you to do.
Right.
If Jesus got baptized, then we need to get baptized too. But what we need to do is stop falling for the okey-doke that the enemy keeps bringing our way and stop all this foolishness about whether you got baptized in the name of Jesus or whether you got baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. My position is, whether people agree with it or not, and if God want me to know something different, he's going to tell me. Jesus said get baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And Jesus supersedes anything that Paul says. And I know Paul was inspired by God to write what he wrote. So I'm not saying nothing. I'm not talking bad about Paul. But what I am saying is that get baptized and stop arguing whether you're getting baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost or in the name of Jesus. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are all one anyway. Okay, and for people that say Jesus only, how can you say Jesus only when there still is God the Father and there still is the Holy Ghost? How can you even say Jesus only? They are one. You can't dismiss the Father. Just like my husband uses this analogy about the Holy Spirit and God the Father and Jesus being one. I think you better explain it because I think I'm about to mess it up, honey. But he uses H2O.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The illustration of H2O, and he uses
which is a compound, which we all know what H2O is. We can see H2O in water, ice, and steam. All three are H2O. None less than the other. Water is not less H2O than steam. Steam is not less H2O than ice. Now, if this equate H2O as being God. Let's say that water is the Father. Let's say that the Son is the ice, and that the Holy Spirit, very appropriately, is the steam. Every one of them is H2O. Each one of them is God. We can put a cube of ice in a glass of water and see them both seemingly independent of each other. Nevertheless, they both are H2O, acting in different ways, in different forms, in this different substance, but the same nevertheless. For a moment before it melts, we can put some water in a pan, put ice in the pan, and turn on the heat, and before the ice melts, we can see glimpses of steam beginning, a piece of the ice still floating, and the water still in the pan. All three, different substances, it appears to be different, yet all three the same. So it is with H2O, and so it is with God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. At the baptism, you will see all three being manifested all at once. The Jesus, Yahshua, being baptized, he is the Son. The Father appears through the Holy Spirit that seems to liken unto itself like a dove, lights upon Jesus' shoulder, and out comes the words from heaven of the Father. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. My argument always has been, if God can create that in nature, why can't God be that in himself?
All right. All right. Did y'all catch that? If y'all didn't, you're more than welcome to go back to the archives and listen to it again, because I heard the man of God teach this many, many years ago, and he still teaches the same thing. It hasn't changed. And if you just think about it, how God created the ice and the steam and the water. If God created that, if God, look at yourself. We're spirits, and we have a soul, and we live in a body. Okay? That's who we are. All right? We're one person. Another thing my husband says is, okay, he's a father, he's an uncle, he's a brother, he's a cousin, he's all that in one person. So if we can be all that in one person, why can't God be God, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost? Why can't they just be one? Why we got to go into all this other polytheism, monotheism, and all this other theology stuff? Why can't we just believe the word of God? And if Jesus said, me and my Father are one, if he said, I'm going back to my Father and I'm sending you a helper, which is the Holy Spirit, if he said, I'm sending him back to you, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you should be witnesses of me in Judea and Samaria and the othermost parts of the earth. Why can't we just believe the word of God? Why? Because Satan has sent a distraction, and we keep falling for the okey-doke. We keep falling for the okey-doke. Now, I will tell you this. I do have a problem with people in the pulpit, whether it be man or woman, who wear their clothes so tight that you can see all their anatomy. I do have a problem with that. And women, if you have to wear pants that are so tight, I suggest you don't wear them. Put a skirt on and put on a loose one. Man, it was a particular person on TV, and I had I just got distraught when I saw this. His anatomy, his clothes were so tight that his anatomy was showing, and he was walking across the people in front of him, the men and the women that were sitting in front of him. He was walking past them, and all you saw was his anatomy. You couldn't even hear whatever he was talking about, because that's all you saw. He had on his shirt with his muscles all out, and then his pants was, all you saw was a bulge. You saying, well, why was you looking? Well, dang, you couldn't help but see it. You're not supposed to be doing stuff so you can bring the attention to yourself. Put a robe on if your clothes is too tight. People in the choir, women, your breath is bouncing up and down. People can't even get a word in or get delivered because they're looking at your breath is bouncing up and down. People in praise dance ministry, your titties bouncing up and down. I'm sorry. Bouncing up and down like you crazy. Put some tape on and hold yourself in or something, because ain't nobody come to see your breasts bouncing up and down. Ain't nobody come to church to see your muscles and all that stuff and your anatomy hanging out. We going to church to hear the word of God so we can get strengthened. What is all this fooling just going on in the church? I don't need y'all to say amen. It's true anyway. I ain't going to hell for y'all for not telling y'all the truth. Cover that stuff up. I don't want to see your anatomy, and I'm going to turn the station. And I know I told my best friend, I said, you know what? This is sick. This is crazy. People walking around showing their stuff on TV. Your cleavage hanging out. I went to one church, and I tell you, I am not lying. This person, I'm going to tell you, you could see the crack of their behind, and they had on a thong. In the choir. Why you got that on in the choir? What is wrong with you? And what is wrong with the pastor allowing that to be up in the church? But you want to talk about women pastors and this, that, and the third. Get it right. And cover your anatomy up. Ain't nobody supposed to be looking at that. Come on now. Y'all want to talk about denominator? Let's talk about some of that stuff.
That's important.
Walking around, shampoo, put it on mute, boo. Y'all walking around talking about some crazy stuff and doing some crazy stuff. I ought not be seeing what you doing. I ought not be seeing that. I don't care about, your breasts is and your male parts. I don't want to see your thong. I don't want to see through your shirt. Get dressed. Go to church. Respect God. If you don't want to respect nobody else, respect the house of God and go in there decently and in order. Cover your stank self up. Stop walking around like that. I know it's a shame. It's a crime and a shame that pastors have to tell the women in the summertime, don't be coming up in here with your breasts hanging out and wearing all of this stuff and showing your stuff. A pastor got to actually tell you to cover up when you come in. Stop wearing your pants so tight that everybody, that's all they see when you walk past. And this is for men and women. Loosen that stuff up and get yourself together. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. I had no intention on saying that. But guess what? It's just a problem in the body of Christ. People need to go back, like my friend says. She says, all the people need to go back to wearing robes. If you look at, what's that man name? Oh, Lord, Lisa, what's his name? You know who I'm talking about. On Sunday morning, If you look at his choir, they all got on robes. They be trying to sing a fast song, and they don't even be bopping. You know how we get in. We start bopping and snapping our fingers and stuff, and sometimes we be dancing like we in a club. You can't tell whether you in a club or whether you really in the house of God. Where you at? People be in the club dropping it like it's hot. That ain't no spiritual dance. You just doing something because you doing it. Now, if you dancing in the spirit, you're going to look like you in the spirit. You're not going to look like you in the club. Come on now, be with me if I'm right. Work it out. Come on now, my friend said, when I preach, he said, I don't want nobody to see me. I want them to see God. I don't want them to see me. I want them to see God. And we have turned our attention off God, and everything is about everything else. Oh, if you're not preaching with the hoop and a hoop and a whoop and a whoop, you're not really preaching. If you go in there and condemn sin, they don't want you to come back to their church because they want to hear something that's going to make them jump and shout and flip-flop around the church. So if you in the church and you preaching what the word of God said, people don't want to hear that, and they want to invite you back to your church, to their church, because they don't want to hear the word of God. They want to hear something that's going to make them kick the dust up in their church inside you. Come on now, God ain't pleased with this foolishness. He's not pleased with this. People preaching to God to use $50 words. I don't know what your $50 words mean. The word of God is supposed to be understood by everybody that hears it. You preaching these $50 words because you went to somebody's theology school, and the people done left the church and don't even know what you was talking about. Because you use a $50 word, and you hooping, ah, ha, oh, hallelujah, ha, can I get an amen, ha. Well, what you say? I can't say amen because I don't know what you said. Okay, I'm getting ready to go. We got to go out of town, and I got to go because this is getting ready to go a whole nother way. Y'all pray for me. Freedom Church, I thank you so much for joining us today. Guest 806. Lisa Shaw Evans, you know I love you so much. Natural Beauty, thank you for joining us. And Taisha, I love you, boo-boo, so much. Y'all pray for me. Those that were on the phone line, Rodney and Roger, the Arvids. Uh-oh, we got some people on the line. Hold on, let me get to them before I hang up. Hold on, area code 252. Area code 252, welcome to the broadcast. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, who's this, Nay?
Uh-huh, this is Nay.
Hi, baby, how you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
Apparently I'm tripping, you know.
You're preaching the truth. Oh, that's the truth.
Let me tell you something, Nay. I'm tired of the foolishness. And if I'm tired of the foolishness, how you think I feel?
That's true, amen. He's tired of it also.
Yes, what you got to say, honey?
I don't really, just God is good. Just continue to seek after him and, you know, seek after his righteousness, seek after not his hand and the materialistic things, but the fruit of his spirit.
Oh, you better go ahead, girl.
Because he's real. He's just looking for someone that's going to really serve him and serve him the right way and not serve him for things, you know. But serve him because he's God.
Now, y'all heard that? This is the quiet one that don't never have nothing to say. This is the quiet one that don't never have nothing to say. She says, seek God, not his hand. She said, don't seek him for things. Did y'all hear that? Go ahead, Nate. Go ahead, finish talking. I'm going to shut up. Go ahead, Nate.
God, he's just looking for real people, true people that's going to serve him, you know. So just be humble for God, before God, and just seek after him, and he will fill you.
He'll
take out the things that is not like him and fill you with his spirit. Like I said, the fruits of his spirit. So only thing I have to say is just seek God. Seek God for yourself, because now I see more and more people that's doing things out of flesh, you know. And God is not looking for that. God is looking for real people.
Yes, yes, yes. Real people. Real people. People, I'm so glad you called in and spoke, honey, because I just love your little voice. It's so soft. Wow. Did y'all hear that? See, you need to call in more often, baby. But guess what? Let me tell y'all this. The program is going to change back to the evening. My shift at work is going to be 7 a.m. to 3 p.m., so my broadcast is going to be coming on in the evening. I will post it on the page and let you know what time, because right now I don't know what time is going to be. I'm waiting on an answer from the Lord, and he'll let me know. And when he lets me know, I'll let you know. We're going to continue to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I solicit your prayers. I need your prayers. The gospel of Jesus Christ is going to be preached through this vessel until the Lord God tells me otherwise. And because of that, I need your prayers, because the attack of the enemy is on. Okay? If I would begin to tell you the things that are going on right now in my life, you would be like, okay, why is she even coming on Blog Talk Radio? But I'm doing it because I love God. I'm doing it because the word of God has to go forth. I'm doing it because there are people out here going to hell every day, and I don't want anybody's blood on my hands. So it doesn't matter what I'm going through. She said, seek God's face. Seek him. Seek him. We got to seek God in spirit and in truth. We got to seek him and do what he tells us to do, because people are going to hell. I know that if the person that kept bothering me when I was in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, his name was Ulysses Meadows, and every Sunday I would come to church, the Sundays that I would go, he would be on me all the time, don't you want to give your life to Jesus today? And I don't know how long it was before I finally said yes. I don't know how long it was, but that man bugged me every time he saw me. He would ask me, would I give my life to Jesus Christ? And I thank God for using that vessel that he used to cause me to come into the kingdom of God. I thank God that he didn't care about the expression on my face. He didn't care what I said out my mouth. He didn't care what I did. All he wanted to know is, did I want Jesus Christ? He wasn't getting paid to ask me to come to Jesus Christ. He was getting rewarded by Jesus Christ himself. And I believe that he has a crown in heaven, because he brought souls to Christ simply by asking them, don't you want to give your life to Jesus today? He wasn't getting paid for doing that. He was doing it because this is what Jesus had called him to do. And because of his obedience, I was brought into the kingdom of light. I was pulled out of the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light. And that's the same thing I want to do, because that was extended to me, and I want to extend that to people that are still in the kingdom of darkness. I don't care whether you're a Muslim or you're a Buddhist or you're an atheist, whatever you call yourself. Even inside the body of Christ, if you backslid and I offer Jesus Christ to you today, if you don't know Jesus Christ and the pardon of your sins, I offer him to you today. I ask you to read the book of John, and particularly focus on John 3:16-17, because Jesus said himself, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. He also said, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, meaning Jesus Christ, but that the world through him might be saved. So I offer you that Jesus today. I don't offer you the pretty Jesus that people want to show on a picture that has a one trinkle of blood coming out of his side and a one trinkle of blood coming out of his hair. I offer you the Jesus that was wounded for your transgressions and bruised for your iniquities. I offer you the Jesus who was chastised for our peace. I offer you that Jesus that went to the cross and he was bleeding, his flesh was pulled off. He was beaten by 39 stripes for us. I offer you that Jesus. If you're listening to this message in the archives, you can stop what you're doing right now, and you can fall on your knees, and you can say, Jesus, I heard what that woman said, And I'm asking you to come into my life. I renounce Satan as my father. I renounce him. I give my life to you, Jesus, and I want to serve you and you only. I accept what you did on the cross at Calvary for me, Jesus. I accept that you are the Son of God, and you died and you rose again on the third day. And right now you sit at the right hand of the Father. You sit at the right hand of power. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior right now, and you can become born again. You can do that. You don't have to wait till you go to church. You don't have to wait till you go to Bible study. You don't have to wait for the preacher to come on television. You can do it right now. And it's not because of what I say. It's because of what the Word of God says. And the same Word of God that I believe is the same Word of God that you can believe right now. Because Romans 10, 9, and 10 says this very clearly, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, open up your mouth and confess the Lord Jesus. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So I offer you Jesus today. I offer you Jesus today. It is your choice whether you accept him or not. It is my job to offer you Jesus, and that is what I'm doing. I ask for your prayers, glory to God, hallelujah. Now, I ask for your prayers as I continue to preach the word of God. I ask for your prayers for travel and mercies as my husband and I travel for my husband to go speak for a program for Johnny and Friends. I don't know if you know Johnny and Friends, but it's a disability ministry, and my husband's going to speak there on tonight. So pray for us. We do have 813, area code 813. Is this Roger?
This is Rodney.
Rodney, you're back. Okay, Rodney, you're back. Okay, Rodney, what you got to say? Come on.
I know you. Just in closing, I just wanted to say we tend to make this more difficult than it is. The word of God say, be ye holy,
yes.
For I am holy.
Yes.
It is easy to be holy.
Yes,
it's not hard.
Nope.
All we have to do is take on the change.
Yes.
Accept him into your life. Learn of his ways. Accept his ways. And live holy.
Yes.
Stop doing us and do him.
You stop doing us and do him.
That's all. You know, it's not difficult.
That's right.
The enemy is going to try us. But he has left us the code for every occasion that come up, every situation that come up in our lives, every obstacle that we come up against, he has left a code in the Bible. And all we have to do is seek and search the word. And apply that word to whatever situation we're going through.
Yes.
And we will be delivered.
Yes.
You know, it's not, like we were saying, it's not about the denomination. It's not about the religion. It's about Christ. It's about the gospel.
Amen.
And once we acknowledge that and accept that, what Jesus has laid out for us, there's no need to change. He didn't use big words. He simplified.
That's right.
He simplified everything. And all we have to do is stick to his plan.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Stick to his plan, and we will be delivered. I love the Lord today, Evangelist, because he reached down in the pits of my mess and delivered me.
Hallelujah.
I was on my way to hell.
Yes, 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 yes.
But by his grace and his mercy.
Yes.
And I'm just here to tell all your listeners that the same thing that he has done for you, the same things that he has done for me, if we seek his face, If we humble ourselves and seek after him, he would do the same for them.
Yes, yes,
the
yes.
The same
yes.
miracles that Christ performed for the blind, the leprous, the woman with the blood issue, he's doing them today.
Yes, he is.
And all we have to do
That's
apply
right.
his word to our situation. And I thank you for allowing me this opportunity, and I want to speak life to you. Mm-hmm. Whatever thus says the Lord, Street, be obedient.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
And he will bless you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hello? Uh-oh. We can't hear you. Listen, I'm going to contact you, Rodney, on Facebook because I want you to be a guest on the broadcast. So I'm going to contact you. I don't know what happened, but I can't hear you anymore. But
okay.
Okay, there you are. I'm going to contact you on Facebook, and we're going to get together, and I want you to be a guest. So pray about that. And if the Lord allows you to be a guest on the broadcast, we will have you on.
Okay.
And you and your wife, does your wife minister?
She's a woman of God, but she's not a pulpit associate.
Okay, so whatever the case is, we're going to have you on, and I'll get back with you. I got to run now because we got to go out of town,
okay.
And I'm still on the phone, and I shouldn't be. But
amen,
glory to God.
Amen.
Can you just close us out in prayer?
Me?
Yes.
Most holy and everlasting Father. Father God, we come to you in the humblest way that we know how today, Lord. First, giving you thanksgiving for all that you have done for us up into this present time. Lord, we ask that you look upon each and every voice, each and every person under the sound of my voice. This woman of God, Lord, you know what she stands in the need of, Lord. Lord, we ask you to open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing to her, Lord, and her ministry, Lord. Lord, we ask you to look on the sick and the shut in, the saved, the unsaved, Lord. Send your word. Lord, we know there is power, there is healing, and there is deliverance in your word. Send your word, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Everybody be blessed. I thank you so much, Rodney, for that prayer. Everybody be blessed. Pray for us as we're on the road to and from. And we just pray God's blessing, and we thank God. I'm going to thank God. Because I don't get the praise reports, but I'm going to thank God for every person that came out of the kingdom of darkness because of the word of God. I thank God for every soul being saved around the world because the gospel is being preached. Even in other countries, people are losing their lives for preaching the gospel. And we can give the gospel out freely right here in the United States without having to worry about being killed or anything like that, and we won't do it. But my prayer is that we will come in line with the word of God and do what thus saith the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Nay, I
Amen.
Love you so much. Rodney, I thank God
Amen.
And praise God for you. Everybody in the chat room, I love you. God
Amen.
Bless you. Have an awesome weekend. And if God says the same,
Amen.
We'll be back with you on next week. Listen out for the times of the program change because, again, my shift has changed to day shift. So we will be changing to a new time. So just look out on my page and I'll let you know, okay?
Amen.
All right. God bless you, everybody.
Be blessed.
All right. Amen. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello, Jerry.